Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of the Talking US MLE podcast. My name's Dr. Paul. If this is your first time visiting, let me take this opportunity to welcome you to the show. Whether you're in pre-med, med school, or you're just looking for some tips on productivity, inspiration, motivation, and becoming successful, you're in the right place. Before we dive in, please do me a huge favor and let us know how we're doing by leaving us a rating, 5 stars if you're enjoying the show. Let's not waste any more time. Let's dive into today's episode. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode. My name is Dr. Paul. I'm here with Dr. Stavros. Today, we are answering some of your Reddit questions. You guys post awesome questions on Reddit. We want to provide you with some awesome answers. So before we dive in, do us a huge favor. Hit the like button below. We would greatly appreciate it. While you're at it, hit the subscribe button, set up notifications, and we will let you know every time we release another one of these videos. All right, Dr. Stavros, let's dive in today with some of our questions. You want to pull up the first one?
Cool. All right, first one. What are some ways to make extra income as a third-year medical student? So Smoke Iron says, 1 month ago, my friend and I are trying to come up with a list of jobs to do. So far, we only have tutoring. I was wondering if you guys worked during medical school or have any ideas of how to make extra income. Doc, go for it.
Number one, I've never met a medical student who actually works during med school, a real job. Yes. No one does, you know, part-time at Target down the street or at Whole Foods. There's just no time. And if you have 2 or 3 extra hours, usually that doesn't really leave you time to go and work a job. What are you going to go work an hour and a half? It's just not worth your time. With that said, we have been receiving requests for quite some time for students wanting to tutor. Yep. You have tutoring jobs. I need to tutor for USMLE. I need to make some money. So what we did is we're working on a platform that allows students to actually find students who want to be tutored so that you can actually make money right on the platform. It's called Exam Breakthrough. It's at exambreakthrough.com. You go on, create your free account, look for students who need tutoring. You can also post what you want to tutor in, and then you guys can find each other, set a price, and get rocking and rolling. You can work from anywhere as long as you have internet connection. It's fast, it's easy. It's a great way to earn some extra money. Even if you got just an extra hour, you could tutor someone for 50 minutes and, you know, make 60, 70 bucks. It's a great way to at least chip away at your debt or, you know, supplement your income. That's what I would recommend. As far as other jobs, I just can't imagine there's anything else out there that's really worth your time. Like, for example, like I said, you're not going to have a lot of hours to work at a Whole Foods or Target or doing anything else that's going to actually add up to anything substantial. If you have to work, you know, at Whole Foods and you need transportation, it's kind of, you're at zero. Like, there's no gain there. And like I said, you'd have to work several hours to make it worth your time. If you're tutoring, med students especially will pay 50, 60 bucks for an hour of tutoring, and that's all your money. So you just can't beat that sort of platform, which is why we created it for you. So check that out at your convenience, exambreakthrough.com. There's also a link below, and sure you will like it, because you don't even need to just tutor med students. You could tutor nursing students, physiotherapy students, chiropractic students. And if you're watching this and you're not a med student, you could actually be in chiropractic, nursing, really whatever, and find someone who you can help earn some money, or vice versa. If you want to name your own price and get some really good tutoring for step one or CK or whatever it may be, or your NCLEX or whatever you're studying for, biology class, even if you're just a high school student, you can name your own price and someone will find you and tutor you for that price. So it's a great deal.
Well, and especially now with everything being virtual, it really fits because people are home, right? Whether you're in rotations or not, and you can't go to a library, you're not going to go to a Starbucks. It's all being on a platform, virtual, connecting with people. Because imagine not getting up to go to a job for an hour or two, like you said. First of all, it's not possible. And if you did, you waste a lot of time. You're on the computer, you're studying, jump 2-3 hours, couple of sessions, make some good money, go back to study. So it doesn't affect the quality of your studies for school. That's amazing.
Like I said, you know, you really only just need an hour and you can make some pretty good money. Whereas anything else, you're going to need to do lots of hours, which that's why med students don't work, because there's nothing that they have available to them that's easy, but also pays really well. We've created it for you. So check that out.
Perfect. All right. Okay, next one, Doc.
Yes, I do. Let's see. So this is preclinical, but in quotations, vent. I always enjoyed the vents. Failed an exam for the first time in med school, M2, so second year med student. Hi all, I failed my first exam in med school. I feel like absolutely expletive about myself. Thank expletive God, it doesn't go on my transcript and all I have to do is retake it. And people in the education office told me this literally happens all the time and not to take it too strongly. I know a large part of it was because of my personal life, the world falling apart around me, getting in the way. In quotations, barely slept the night before and cried all day the day before about something not at all academically related, but I still feel like a dumbass. Any stories of like, I failed an exam and I'm okay, would be highly appreciated right now. LMAO, thanks for listening. Doc, what do you think?
So black cat, green eye, couple things. I understand doesn't feel great to fail an exam. Whether it's an exam or a semester, if it's just an exam, granted, you don't want to fail anything. You can do your very best in your basic sciences, build your foundation. It can happen because there's a lot going on. Like you said, there's something going on with your personal life, world falling around you apart. It's not easy to adapt to school. It's not easy to adapt to what's going on now, especially 2020. You have to really figure out what happened. Is it was nerves? Was it stress? Was it the material itself? Because it can't continue to happen. If it happens over and over again, eventually you might not pass a semester or a class, which then leads to the semester. And that's the bigger mistake and the bigger error, red flag, I would say. An exam, just pick yourself back up, figure out what you have to do and move on. Don't let it continue it. Don't let it happen again. Because then eventually you might have to repeat a semester and that's going to be a big red flag on your transcript. It's hard. We all have our ups and downs. It's very stressful, but you have to start really figuring out how to adapt to difficult times and environment, especially with step one, CK, residency. Life doesn't end, Doc. Life continues. And you have to find ways to adapt and evolve accordingly.
Over the last decade doing this, you know, I've had a lot of students, probably more than I can count, who failed the class in med school or even failed step one and said, this is the first test I've ever failed in my life. And I mean, you know, it's just part of going through challenges is you're going to get smacked around and you're probably going to fail a test at some point. Everybody fails something or even just gets a C or a B. If you're a straight A student, you have to understand it's not the end of the world. Just take it as a lesson, learn from it. What happened? Sounds like you know exactly what happened. You had an emotional day beforehand. You didn't sleep. That can have a huge impact on you, your test results. It was just one test. I wouldn't worry about it. Just, you know, bounce back. Don't let it get you down. Move forward. That's all you can do. Like Dr. Stavros said, just move. The world keeps spinning. Just move forward. Forget about it. Learn the lesson and you'll be okay.
Best of luck. Black cat, green eye. Next one. Oh boy, let's see. What's a typical day during M3, M4 rotation? So from Learn 0914, I'm starting clinical soon and our school syllabus states we should expect 65 to 80 hour a week for clinical rotations. Is that accurate? What is your typical weekly hours during clinicals? How do you find time to study and have a bit of a life? Want to take this, Doc?
Sure. Number one, I wouldn't worry too much about my social life while I'm in third and fourth year. Yep. That should be your last priority. You should focus on your rotations and focus on prepping for CK. And then if you have some spare time on the weekends, by all means, hang out with a friend or two. But you're not going to have much of a life. There's no work-life balance when you're a med student. It's all work. And then you squeeze in your social time when you can. So 65 to 80 hours. So here's my experience, and Dr. Stavros, I think you'll agree. It depends, number one, it depends what rotation you're in. Yeah. If you're in, for example, I mean, I did urology, and it was like a five-hour week. I also did surgery, and that can be an 80-hour week. That could be a 100-hour week.
Sure.
Typically, what I've noticed is there's pretty standard hours. Like, they want you there early, like maybe 7 or 8, so that you can get ready for the attending for the day. You'll do your rounds. And then if you have call, that's really where your hours will really accumulate. But for the most part, it was show up at 8. And then when we finish rounding and we've done what we got to do for the day, you can leave. Usually it's 4 or 5, but here's a huge but. The good students will stick around. They'll show up early and stay late so that they can get access to more cases, more access to the attending, more access to residents so that they can learn more, be seen, build relationships and contacts, especially if you're at a place where there's residency programs and there's a possibility that you can get in there. So, you know, it's not overly rigorous, but you should try to make it rigorous for yourself by, like I said, showing up early, staying late. I knew students who did the very bare minimum, and I don't know, maybe they worked 40, 50 hours a week, but the good students probably did work 65 to 80, but that was because they took on a lot more than they had to. But you want to be that student. It's going to benefit you. So, you know, that's kind of, that was my experience. Like I said, though, it varies depending on the rotation as well as the attending.
Well, I'm on the same page with you, Doc. I think this individual, the student, should reach out to her colleagues, students in class, in the school that have completed these rotations. Because asking somebody on Reddit, that's great, but I can tell you, yeah, I've done 80 hours, I've done 40 hours. It doesn't change anything. And especially because if you have a certain passion for a certain specialty, you have to be exposed to all that information, experience in the hospital. Because my experience of family medicine, the guy was only there, the preceptor, twice a week. So if I would have just stayed with his schedule, I would have had a horrible rotation. Instead, I stayed every day, 10 hours a day, because I knew that I could follow the residents and the attendings, other attendings. And I realized that family was great, but it wasn't for me. If I would have just gone home, I wouldn't have studied. I probably would have just relaxed and went to the gym. So you see, you want to spend as much time as possible to get the real experience of every specialty and subspecialty, and then give you a fighting chance and an accurate idea of maybe what you want to do in life. So to this individual, you got to buckle down, Doc. I mean, I know you want to have a life, but you've chosen medicine. You know, it's going to be a lot of sacrifice on your end for a long time. So
yep.
Best of luck.
Right. Best of luck. Next question. How do you memorize so much information in such little time in medical school? I have a cousin in med school, and he says he has to memorize like 200 PowerPoint slides a day. LOL. How is this possible, and how can you retain it, doctor?
So, I mean, you did a video the other day of the technique. Honestly, there's so many different ways, right? There's ways, and you can talk to 10 different people to tell you 10 different ways. There's no one way. It's not a magic pill. It's a lot of time spent, a lot of repetition. That's it. It's a lot of repetition. So if it's something you love, for example, let's say you love anatomy, great. Let's say you hate anatomy. Here's the problem. You still have to do it. Typical medical student runs away or puts it to the side and covers it later. Guess what? Later is going to come sooner than later. And then you have to memorize the information. So I would say a lot of repetition, a lot of safety checks throughout the week, throughout the month, throughout the year. You have to attack every topic. You can't just put it aside. 200 PowerPoints. Guys, lucky. I mean, in my class, we'd have a couple hundred a day more, because that's per class, by the way. We'd have 200 for histology, 200 for biochem, microbiology. So, and the school might tell you, well, you're responsible for everything. Other doctors might be nice and tell you, pick and choose, and this is what you need to know. So besides a PowerPoint stock, you have the books. It's not an easy fix. You have to find your way, repetition, and safety checks, safety books.
Yeah, I'm just trying to think if there's anything additional I can add. You know, repetition is key, like Dr. Stavros said, but you have to be on top of it too. One thing that I was just thinking of, you said something I wanted to comment on, but I didn't want to jump in, is if you put something aside, let's say anatomy, and you wait till step one rolls around to really dive in, you're going to focus on the first aid, meaning you're going to miss out on 80% of the stuff you learn in anatomy. And that's where students try to take these shortcuts because they're lazy or they just don't want to put in the effort, and they end up getting a subpar step one score. So you don't want to do that. But really what you do, let me give you just a brief overview of what we tell our students to do. Number one, every single day you need to go home, review the material. You should also pre-read, go to class, go home, review the material. You should take notes. Get yourself a good study partner, split up the notes. This is something Dr. Cellini taught us when we watched one of his videos. Get a good study partner, split up the notes, and create condensed versions of every class's lectures. Then consistently review. Once you've done that, you review it again and again and again. If you review Monday's class notes on Tuesday and then on Wednesday, then maybe you start to really learn the material. You can review it 3 days later, 4 days later, then maybe a month later, then maybe a couple months later. Then when step one rolls around, all of the information from class is in your brain. You just need to review it, and you've mastered it. That's really the approach you want to take. It's very simple. It's just a lot of work. Now, the previous question was asking about how many hours need to be dedicated during the clinical years. Tell you what. So let's say class starts at 8, goes to 4, you have a lab or two. That's what, 6 o'clock, 6, 7, 8, 10 hours. You should go home, you know, do some exercise, but you also should study 2-3 hours. I mean, realistically, I think I probably put in 13, 14 hours Monday through Friday, and then half a day on Saturday, half a day on Sunday. So you're looking at, you know, 80, 90 hours in basic sciences to stay on top of everything. Sure. It's a lot of work. It's not for everybody too. If the thought of trying to memorize and master and learn all, it's not all memory too. A lot of it's conceptual. Like for example, histology, right? You can look at one slide. If you understand what you're looking at, for example, is a nervous tissue, then you can usually deduce a lot of the times what you're looking at. So it's not all just plain memorization. A lot of it is understanding concepts, but if you're not willing to put in a lot of time, a lot of effort, and sacrifice basically everything for 4 years and more for residency, medicine is definitely not for you. So if you're thinking about it, Prince Ali the GOAT, number one, if you're thinking about it and it sounds brutal to you, or you don't think you can do it, then medicine might be something you want to steer clear of.
Yeah, there's a lot of information, guys, and you know, everyone's different techniques. It might, like what we said earlier, it might take me 10 minutes to review something and memorize. It might take you a day and a half just because it's not connecting. And you, and one thing I never understood, Doc, so many students are scared or in fear of actually reviewing the same information. I think they feel that once they cover it once, they've retained it. Well, yeah, you've retained some of it. And if I show you a list of 4 questions and answers, maybe you can pick it, you know, pick and choose. Obviously, you have a percentage chance to get it right. But the point is, why don't you go back and review it a couple more times? You might watch a favorite movie 5 times. You might go to your favorite restaurant 6-7 times. Why not take this information and say, you know what? I need to memorize this. I need to learn it and retain it for a future to get my good scores on the boards. I mean, if I see a basketball player, when I say, oh, I want to be like him, I'll start playing basketball tomorrow. I have to practice every day, all day and all night. We mentioned earlier, 2 things that students won't like, what you said and what I'm going to say again, wake up early before you go to rotations and then study half a day Saturday, half a day Sunday. Because no one's going to do that, Doc. 80% of students are like, nah, I don't want to do it in the morning. Okay. I don't want to do that. I want to relax on the weekends. Okay. You won't get your 250. That's all. Simple.
You need to be extremely self-motivated to survive med school, because your teachers do not care. If you don't do the work, you'll fail, you'll leave, they still got your money. No one is going to keep you accountable. It's 100% on you. So you need to be very, very motivated self-starter. You need to be someone who can do the work even when you don't want to. You have to have those qualities before you even go to med school. Those are things you need to just have, because I've never seen a lazy person survive med school. Some people pretend they're lazy, but they're not. They're probably working their butts off. They're just trying to make it look like it's effortless. But yeah. I had a friend, just a short story, I had a friend who always did really well, and you know, he acted like he never studied. And I talked to his roommate one day, and he's like, he studies all the time. So I was like, you can't really trust people who say they don't study. Yeah. Or it comes naturally. They're just, it's a front in my mind. But anyway, yeah, you have to put in a lot of work and a lot of dedication, a lot of repetitions. There's a lot of studies out there on spaced repetition, which is something we talk about all the time. And if you are planning to go to med school, or you're in med school, you're watching this and you know, you're not really sure what spaced repetition is, look it up. There's studies that demonstrate almost to the day, like how often you should study and repeat material. I don't remember. It's been a while since I looked at the specifics, but I mean, Anki is basically spaced repetition, right? You're looking at the same stuff over again. You can also go old fashioned, create index cards. And another free alternative is just create PowerPoints. I mean, I used to do that. I used to do index cards because I just liked writing things out, but I still write a lot out, open up a PowerPoint, ask a question, next slide, answer, next question. You could just bang through them, boom, 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 when you're studying. It's a real simple way to do it, and you can organize everything really nicely too. And here's a kicker. All your friends are going to want it, and you can probably charge them. So there's another way to make some money as a med student. Create amazing study notes and then charge people for them.
I mean, people do it all the time.
I can't believe I didn't think of that one.
You see? It's okay. It's all good. So hopefully, wish you the best, Prince Ali, the GOAT, number one.
Should we do one more?
Yeah, let's hit it. Why not?
All right. Is this one you or me?
I think it's me.
Okay, go for it.
No, it's you. I think it's you, right? Yeah.
All right. So the title here is an M3. So for those of you who don't know, that's a third year med student. Concerned about overnight schedule. Okay. That's not promising. I'm an M3 on my first rotation, OBGYN, and I am concerned about staying awake during the overnights. I have 1 week that's filled with 11 p.m. to 7 a.m. shifts. I can't drink coffee due to GERD, plus caffeine makes me anxious. Does anyone have any tips? I tried to post on our medical school, but don't have enough comment karma. Okay. What do you think?
So I've seen this happen quite a bit because it's not easy when you're typically a 9-to-5 or, you know, working, going to school during the day. And then you go to a rotation like OB-GYN and they have you working nights. It does take time to adjust. The problem is by the time you get adjusted, you're done. There's only 6 shifts, right? So it happens. You can do it. Now, caffeine, you can get, obviously, you can drink caffeine, like you said. Some students might try to change their sleep schedule, but it's not easy because if you have to go to class, this is OBGYN rotation. So you have to figure out how the schedule is going to be in the hospital. Typically, you might have the day before off. It's not going to be easy. You got to buckle down for the six times, 11 to 7. If you have another student or maybe 2 students, you can kind of work together, but you're not on call. You're actually working. There's a difference. If you're on call for 24 hours, you can say, listen, I'll sleep for 6. You sleep for 6. That's your actual shift. My sister's gone through it. I've done this. You've done this, doc. We've all done something to this point where you have to adjust. It's not easy. I would try my best to, I don't know, maybe some fruits, right? Eat something, chew gum, something to kind of keep going. I don't know what else. I mean, it's not easy. What do you think?
There's not really a fix. If you're not willing to drink caffeine, you could take caffeine pills. You can get like wake ups, but you said caffeine makes you anxious. So if that's out of the picture, you know, couple things you could consider. Number one, try to take a couple hours nap right before your shift. That might refresh you to the point where you can stay up. Another thing I might recommend is don't just sit around, like always be on your feet. It's hard to fall asleep when you're walking around. Keep yourself busy. So, you know, if it's a slow night and you're just there, but you got to be ready and willing to get up and work, schedule things throughout the night. For example, maybe every 15 minutes, set your phone, get up and walk around the halls. Just peek in, see if anybody needs anything. Go ask the nurses if there's anything you can help with. Study, do a lot of study. Overnight shifts, I actually love overnight shifts because it's so quiet and you can get so much studying done. Basically, you're getting a twofer. You are getting credit for being there. You're learning if you have things to do. And it's so quiet that you study. I remember my OB-GYN rotation. I did so much studying. It was amazing. So I would say don't look at this as something you have to, you know, like drag yourself through. Think of it as a temporary opportunity. You have 6 shifts. That's not that difficult to do. And really, they're only 8-hour shifts. I mean, there's nothing. I could bang out 8 hours of my sleep.
Obviously,
that's a joke. But 8 hours is not a lot. So like I said, try to take a nap before you go in and then have things like write out things you're going to do. Set your phone alarm so that every 15 minutes it goes off and walk the wards. Also, you know, if it's quiet, go to another floor and just see what's going on. If you have friends who might be doing calls, go and see them. Keep yourself busy. That's really going to be the best way to stay awake. Because if you just sit at a table without anything to do, of course, you're going to fall asleep. And you can't just sit there and waste your time on Instagram or Facebook all night. Find things to do that are productive. Get some exercise. Great opportunity for exercise too. You could probably get like 20,000 steps in if you play your cards right. So I would love this. I would love this. And drink a lot of water. You know, that'll at least keep you hydrated. Drink ice water, keep you up. It'll keep you going to the bathroom too. And you won't be able to fall asleep if you have to go pee all the time. So that's what I would try.
Yeah, like the evening shifts are cool too because like we talked about it, you'll be able to meet more nurses, more hospital staff, maybe a resident or attending or a fellow, depending on what hospital you're working at. You might jump on and maybe round with them and see what other procedures they might be doing or bedside consults and whatnot. Ideally, take this to your advantage because whatever you choose in medicine, you're going to have on calls in residency. So I would say this is a little taste of what your future is going to be like, ideally, for a little bit. So you have the time to adjust because you're not a resident yet. You don't have that much expectation from them on you. So granted, stay awake, stay alert, like we talked about. Always keep busy, moving, shaking, use your phone, study, and that's all you got to do. I mean, before you know, you'll be fine. You'll realize six shifts will be over. You feel a lot better about yourself, but don't compromise your GERD, please. Be careful. And anxiety, something that's going to be severe, you might have to take a look into that, because it's only going to get worse, unfortunately. It will be, really will.
Yeah, I mean, once when I look at this, I mean, that is nothing compared to what you've got coming. Yeah. And I'm just saying that just to let you know, you're gonna have to get used to, this is medicine. I mean, and you don't have a choice. You're gonna have calls. You're going to have to get used to, you know, basically doing what you've got to do. And it's going to be rough, but use all the tips I said. Dr. Stavros gave you some tips. Figure it out. And if caffeine makes you anxious, maybe, you know, see a physician, let them know what you're doing. When you're doing shift work consistently, there's medications that you can use for that, but this is just a one-time thing. So that's not going to be effective for you. Anyway, we could talk about this for forever. So let's just stop there. Hopefully that was helpful. You know, like I said, I think the most important thing when you have to stay awake is keep yourself occupied. It's going to be the best way. Dr. Stavros, any last words?
No, I want this doctor to know that it's normal. Please don't think it's not. We all have.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I mean, it's one thing if you're going to have a shift, like if you're a nurse or physician and you're going to have the night shifts for next year, you'll adapt. By the time you get adapted, you'll be like, oh, I just got so used to it. It's my last shift. It's going to happen to you. So buckle down, enjoy the ride. I know it's hard to accept this. We do care for all the students out there. You know, it's not going to be an easy journey, but it's really well worth it at the end if you pick the right specialty, especially. So
absolutely. Absolutely. All right, guys. Hopefully that was helpful. Thank you all for spending some time with us. Before we let you go, do us a huge favor. If you haven't yet, hit that like button, subscribe, set up notifications so we can send you every video we release. Thank you all for taking some time with us today. Thank you for stopping by. We'll see you on the next episode.
See you guys.
Thank you all for listening. I hope you found that to be helpful. Don't forget to follow me on Instagram at RealDrPaul, and you can follow Dr. Stavros at RealDrStavros. I hope you found this episode to be helpful. If you did, please don't forget to leave us a 5-star rating and leave a review so we know if you're finding the show to be helpful. We thank you for listening to the show. We know that you could be anywhere right now, but you've decided to spend your time with us. And for that, we're forever grateful. Thank you all for stopping by. We'll see you on the next episode.